Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. Moving stormwater quickly off streets and surface areas in cities is important to prevent flooding and to protect people and property. And where that water goes is important. Generally, it warrants some kind of treatment before it's discharged into surface waters, and the need is especially critical in older areas where stormwater and sanitary sewage are mixed in combined sewers. The Chicago region has invested heavily in an underground network to store stormwaters so that it can be gradually treated before it is discharged. To learn more about this mega project, we're talking with Kevin Fitzpatrick, who's managing civil engineer for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. Kevin has worked on what is called the Tunnel and Reservoir Project for about 15 years. Kevin, thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
So let's start with the basics. In Chicago, we call this system the deep tunnels. Just what is it and how does it work?
So its official name is the Tunnel and Reservoir Plan, and it is basically a system of deep tunnels in the rock that follow underneath the waterways and convey combined sewage to reservoirs at the terminal end of the tunnel systems. There's actually 109 miles of these tunnels throughout the Chicagoland area, and they capture combined sewage from sewer systems, both from the city of Chicago and the surrounding suburbs that have combined sewers. And they allow this combined sewage to be captured in the TARP system as opposed to overflowing into area waterways, which previously occurred at over 400 locations throughout the area. So now what we do is the water drops down to the 109 miles worth of tunnels. It flows to a reservoir where it's held until the storm ends, and we have capacity again at our wastewater treatment plants to clean this water and put it back in the river system cleaned.
Now, is it only handling combined sewage?
It is. It is only handling combined sewage. And the surface area is the city of Chicago and about 50 of the 52 actually older suburbs that have combined sewer systems. Several of the separate sewer systems and separate sewers came on in the 1950s, and the newer suburbs all have separate sewer systems, and some of these suburbs actually have a combination of both. But we do not, in separate sewer systems, the sewage is kept in separate pipes from the rainwater, and the rainwater is going through a storm sewer right out to a waterway, so it does not go into the deep tunnel system.
So that rainwater, that pure rainwater, if you will, gets no treatment?
That's correct. Some areas, there are what they're called MS4 permits, which are municipal stormwater permits for stormwater discharges to waterways. So they are regulated by the IEPA, but in several cases, there's no treatment. It just goes right out to the waterway. In other cases, they do use best management practices, and these are generally held by municipalities themselves. And things like street sweeping to remove trash, capturing the solids that make their way into the sewer system before discharge are some of the best management practices that are used for the storm-only outfalls.
And when you talk about the waterways into which these flows go, you're talking about, what, Lake Michigan and Chicago River and Des Plaines River?
Yes. Generally, the nearest river system is where these outfall sewers go. Now, Lake Michigan doesn't receive any combined sewer overflow outfalls. Those are all to the interior waterways and kept out of the lake. But it does. There are some stormwater-only outfalls out to the lake, and generally those all have some sort of best management practice to remove solids and trash and oil before it gets out to the lake.
How deep are these tunnels?
So the TARP tunnels range from about 100 feet deep to 300 feet deep. The largest system stretches from Wilmette in the north suburbs and basically follows the North Shore Channel and then the Chicago River And then the sanitary ship canal, it falls underneath all those waterways, and it ends at the McCook Reservoir, which is actually it was planned to be in McCook, but it's in Bedford Park, Illinois. And so it starts where it starts in, well, Matt, it's about 150 feet deep, and then it flows by gravity, so the grade drops a little bit, and it's by the time it gets to the reservoir, it's about 300 feet below ground.
And the McCook Reservoir that you talk about, is that an underground facility or is that a surface facility?
It's a surface facility. It's an old quarry, so it's a rock quarry that is basically a 300-foot deep hole in the ground where the rock was removed and sold and used in area construction projects, and then we converted that quarry into this terminal reservoir. So although it comes to the surface, it also goes down 300 feet, and the tunnel enters at the bottom, and that's where we hold the water, and then we can pump it out after the storm, as I mentioned earlier.
So you must have a very large pumping capacity to move that water back up to the surface.
Yeah, some of the largest pumps in the world. Not only are they discharging high volume, but also against a high head of up to 330 feet that they push this water up. The largest pumps we have, the motors are 17,500 horsepower. So they are very significant in size.
And then, so fundamentally, you're storing the water until you have to match the treatment capacity.
Yes. So the water gets treated from a McCook Reservoir. It gets treated at our Stickney Water Reclamation Plant, which is also one of the largest plants in the world. The treatment plant has a capacity to handle 1.4 billion gallons of water per day. And on a dry day, it's really only receiving about 600 million gallons. So there's additional capacity available to pump the polluted combined sewage that's been captured in the TARP system to the Stickney plant and clean it, along with cleaning the regular sewage that comes in.
So can it happen in a major rainstorm that the capacity of the tunnel and reservoir system is met and exceeded?
Yes, it can. So in a very small rainstorm, our treatment plant is already working at full flow, and that's when the water starts to drop down into the tunnel. And then the larger storms, the tunnels and reservoir can fill completely. This happens about five or six times per year for the McCook Reservoir, which is still not as large as it's ultimately going to be. It can hold 3.5 billion gallons of water, but we're expanding it right now. So eventually it'll be able to handle 10 billion gallons of water, and then it won't fill up as frequently.
And what happens when it fills up?
When it fills up, any additional combined sewage will spill out into the nearby waterways, causing some pollution.
So is your long-term plan to have the capacity so that that doesn't happen?
It's yes, except for the rarest of storm events. What we're seeing is, and we're seeing this all over the country, is much larger, more intense storms that are really challenging to deal with. There's basically so much paved land in the area that the sewers and even the deep tunnel for these enormous events can't keep up with it. So we're trying to encourage what's called green infrastructure, where we can try and infiltrate the stormwater and keep it out of the sewer system. So keep it where it falls, infiltrate it into the ground through things like use rain barrels to capture flow, use rain gardens to infiltrate the flow into the ground, and other practices such as that.
So that's really a very different strategy than the infrastructure investments that we've made over the years. Do you see that we're making progress on this green option?
I do, and it really is a different strategy, and one that's becoming more and more accepted, especially in lieu of what we call our gray infrastructure reaching a capacity during these large storm events. We feel that we just need a little something extra to help keep that water out of the system and not have to deal with it, both in terms of collecting it and treating it.
And that's more of a community-based strategy.
It really is. In the Chicagoland area, we've been working on this strategy for probably around 5 years or a little bit longer than that, and we're really starting to see the impacts of it. But it is more of a community level. It's small scale. It's people doing these things in their homes. It's schools capturing water on site. It's government buildings capturing water on site and keeping it there. So instead of these large municipal infrastructure projects, it's really more small scale, trying to keep the water where it falls.
And you alluded to this a moment ago, but it sounds like climate change is creeping up on you, that it's becoming a real issue.
Oh, it certainly is, yes. We're seeing much more intense storms and much greater volumes of rainfall coming on a more regular basis than we used to.
As I recall, I wasn't there at the time, but in 1900, Chicago undertook another mega project to reverse the flow of the Chicago River to stop dumping sewage into the lake. Do you see the deep tunnel as a kind of comparable modern-day successor?
Definitely, yes. And both those projects, interestingly enough, were undertaken by our agency, although it changed names from when the canal was built originally. But they're both probably the two largest infrastructure projects tackled in the Chicagoland area. And they both were very controversial when they first began, with a lot of people not sure, first of all, that the technology even was sound, and then secondly, that this is an enormous outlay of public funds, and are the benefits going to be worth the cost? So I think both projects, though, have proven to be very successful for the purpose that they were originally designed for. Of course, today you would never probably reverse the flow of a river just because of the environmental implications of that. But at the time, it really was a project that allowed Chicago to continue to grow and also protected people from waterborne diseases that they were really dying from because of all the pollution that was going into the lake at the time.
And the potable water was coming out of that same lake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're really following a similar kind of pattern, and you said it, but it sounds like your perspective is that the deep tunnel system has been a success and is a success.
It certainly has. If you look at it from the amount of pollution that we have prevented from going into the waterways, it's been a tremendous success. It's also reduced flooding in people's basements. I know it still exists, but amount of flooding from basement backups has been dramatically reduced compared to before we had the tunnel and reservoir plan online. So it really has been a tremendous success. Is it a complete solution for every storm? No, that's why we need to continue to work towards additional green and gray infrastructure and work with communities to help implement that.
But you're also expanding the capacity of this system.
Yes, we are. Yes. So we're at the McCook Reservoir. They're still mining another hole right next to the one that we're using right now. And once they're done with that, which will probably be another 9 years or so, then we'll connect the two holes and we'll have almost triple the volume that we have right now in that reservoir.
It's a project that's been a long time coming. When did it start?
The idea was, the tunnel and reservoir plan was approved by our Board of Commissioners back in 1972. The actual construction of tunnels began in 1975. The first tunnels were placed in service in 1985. And it's been a long journey to get to where we are. And we still have, like I mentioned, about 9 more years to complete this.
What's the ongoing maintenance challenge that you face with this system?
There are a few challenges. Ultimately, this is a $3.5 billion project, so there's obviously going to be some operation and maintenance costs. Some of the issues that we've dealt with are transient flows within the tunnel system during severe storm events, where we get some wave action and can have water, coming out the top of a shaft at some of the high ends. So we've had to deal with that early on in the process. That was kind of unseen, and they noticed it when they first brought these tunnels online, and so they came up with a sort of an operation scheme to reduce that. And so there's maintenance of all these drop shafts where we put in sluice gates to try and prevent that wave action. And then, of course, there's the electricity cost of pumping this water back through those 17,500 horsepower pumps that I mentioned. So those are some of the larger everyday operation and maintenance costs of the system. But for the most part, the tunnels themselves, being underground and being constructed in this hard rock, are have very little damage after 40 years of service. So they really hold up well.
Are there comparables around the country? Are there other large metropolitan areas that are doing similar things?
Yes, there are several. None are anywhere close to the size of Chicago's system, and that's mostly because the amount of rainfall that we get and the direct runoff that we get from streets into our sewer systems. But all throughout the country and in large cities, they are either just starting to build these deep tunnel systems or have done so already, like Milwaukee has completed theirs. Cleveland is kind of in the middle of their program. Indianapolis is in the middle of their program. And other cities, including Philadelphia, are looking at more of a green infrastructure fix for their combined sewer problems. And they're just really starting out on their process. And it'll be interesting to see how well they perform in comparison to sort of the deep tunnel options.
Are they coming to you to get some advice?
We have collaborated a few different times along with several of these other cities. So a lot of people come to us to look at our tunnel system and look at our pump stations and see what we've learned, because they are really just getting into it now. And then on the green infrastructure end, we're kind of all collaborating together, because it seems like all the cities now are starting to look at this, and some are a little bit ahead of others, and we're learning about the maintenance costs of that.
It's a really interesting system, and it's sort of close to home for us, but I think the problem is close to home for anybody that lives in cities. As I travel around the Chicago metropolitan area, what are the surface manifestations I might be able to see that remind me that this system is in place?
Yeah, so I guess the interesting, and depending on your perspective, nice part of this project is it was mostly built out of sight, out of mind, and for one of the largest infrastructure projects in Chicago, most people had no idea the actual construction was going on, because it's all these tunnels down underground, and then the reservoir is really just at the site of a rock quarry. But what you would see going around the city, signs of it are large shafts, or you might see a grating in the street or off on the parkway, or out in the Forest Preserve District, where mainly by a waterway like the Chicago River or the Des Plaines River or the North Branch, you would see these large shafts. Those are what we call drop shafts that drop the combined sewage that previously was going to the waterway, drop it down to the tunnel, 200 to 300 feet or so. And at the surface, all you would see is a steel grating, really, circular in shape, or some of them are semicircular in shape. So there's really not a whole lot you notice. There are a few that are in the road. There's a couple downtown, two actually in Canal Street, one in Monroe. So they're basically throughout the Chicagoland area. Anywhere the rivers are, there's usually a shaft within a couple thousand feet of the next one downstream.
So what you're doing is intercepting the flow that used to go into the waterways.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly.
Very impressive system. We've kind of watched it from afar as it's grown over many years. Kevin, thanks so much for educating us about the tunnel and reservoir plan. And I'm going to hope that we'll stay dry in the days ahead. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And can I just add one more thing?
Please.
I just thought of that if you're looking for signs of the tunnel and reservoir plan, in addition to those shafts I mentioned and the gratings, you would see if you're driving on I-80 294 out around Thornton in the south suburbs, you would cross a quarry, and on the south side is a rock quarry owned by Material Service that's still in use, and on the north side is an old quarry that is our Thornton Reservoir that generally has water, at least half the time of the year, and you would see our combined sewage reservoir in service. So,
thank you for pointing that out. I've seen it, and it is not small.
No, it isn't.
It's very large. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Kevin.
You're very welcome, Professor.
Thanks.